Hello, funky listeners, and welcome to another episode of the buttery sounds of Kyle's throat hole. Funk radio.
We've had worse openings.
True.
This is Peter.
I think for every opening, we should have like a different, really just terrible tagline. Funk radio. We poke your ear holes. So yeah.
Last week,
we reviewed Charles Bradley's third album, Changes, and we thought we'd keep rolling on with the reviews, since mostly because they're really easy to do and we don't have to do a lot of research aside from just listening to the album.
And what's better than listening to random people's opinions about things?
About things that they themselves could not possibly create.
Yes.
As much as I love reading reviews, I always think of that in the back of my head. I'm like, these people that review things, movies, music, whatever, they do so from a position of never being able to actually create it themselves. Like, I often regard reviews by people in that industry far better than I regard reviews from, like, a professional, quote, reviewers.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, like, the people who are actually creating things prominent enough to be seen or heard are, like, an extremely small number of people. So, like,
yeah,
how, you know, how many people are going to, you know, have experience making movies that can also review things on a regular basis?
Very true, yeah.
Music as well.
Very true.
So with that being said, we don't make music, but we're going to critique it.
Yes. Well, Peter, you kind of make music. You make really dope, like, mix track things.
I've been wanting to do more of that, but it's tough to find stuff that works well together, and I don't want to force it.
We are going to be reviewing Breakbot's new album, Stillwaters, that came out on February 5th of this year. We're a little bit late to the party, but whatever, it's a good album. For the most part. I don't know if we've mentioned Breakbot on this show before, but they definitely fall into our category of dope things.
I don't think we've mentioned Breakbot before. So, for the listeners, we should probably give a brief explanation.
Synopsis of who they are.
Yeah. Now, I always thought it was just one guy, and I think for the most part it is. But then I was reading something about it on Spotify, and it says there's two guys, so I'm a little confused.
Yeah, basically, similar to Mark Ronson, it's this one guy who's a kind of a music producer. His name's Debot Berland, probably butchering that. However, even though he produces and orchestrates a lot of the music, he brings in other artists to sing on his songs. He collaborates a lot with this fairly famous vocalist called Irfane. She's a girl with a cool name. And his sound kind of, obviously coming from France, which is kind of the land of neo-funk, is kind of like that sort of disco funk house music that's been popularized by bands like Daft Punk.
So I didn't realize Breakbot was from France as well, because I've noticed like a really large amount of this type of music in the last few years has pretty much like all come from there.
Yeah, it's weird. France is like the new land of funk or something. French funk.
So yeah, I guess it's sort of like a mix of electronic and I'm probably going to use the term new disco a lot in this discussion, because that's kind of a genre that I follow a lot, and it does definitely fall into that. So
the funny thing was, when I first heard this album, and I was actually describing it to our mutual friend, Dan... The way I described it was something like a combination of Chromeo and Justice. Now, I don't know if that still holds up for you, Peter, after listening to the album, but
I think a bit.
It's very much that kind of, because Justice is a French duo as well. It's very much that sort of French disco combined with like more funky sort of new style R&B lyrics, kind of like Chromeo does. Mm. Now, are we going to do similar to what we did last week and just bounce through the full list in order and then play songs that we liked?
Yeah, I think we can go ahead and go through at least mention every song, and if we had anything written down for them, and maybe play like our top five, or so it doesn't really
yeah
have to.
Yeah, I can dig it. So I guess kind of going down the list, the first song on the album is called Back for More. I liked this song actually. I found myself actually liking a lot of the songs that this girl Irfan sang on, and this is one of them.
You might be looking at it like a more comprehensive list that says who it features, because on I've been listening to this on Spotify, and it doesn't list anything in terms of featured people. So I've found myself in a lot of cases like not knowing, not being able to speak to who it, who's on it.
I was going to say Irfan is a female singer. She's the one on that you can kind of recognize her voice in a handful of the songs. She's kind of sounds like a, for lack of a better term, she kind of sounds like Michael Jackson a little bit. And there's a couple songs that really, really reminded me of Michael Jackson songs. But basically, anytime you hear like a female singer on this album, it's her.
Gotcha. Well, I know she was on a lot of songs on his first album.
Yep.
Which I will probably be mentioning a few times today. And that is By Your Side, which came out in 2012.
I can dig it.
Anyway, so Back for More. I kind of like the double meaning of the title, because the lyrics are kind of like, you keep me coming back for more, like a man singing to a woman and then a woman singing back to a man. But also, I also kind of found it as kind of an interesting way to kick off his second album, when this was 4 years after the debut album. And so he's kind of saying he's coming back for more. That's how I interpret it.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's kind of like a teaser of like, oh, this is our second album, therefore we're coming back to make some more funky sounds.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I didn't really have much to say about it. It's an opening track. I don't think it's really meant to be anything too spectacular.
No, very much that kind of 80s synthy keyboardy sound, for lack of a better term.
Which I think gets repeated a lot throughout this album.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Very much synthy. But again, that's kind of his genre, his wheelhouse, so to speak. Yeah. I don't know. Do you think it's worthy of playing?
We've got a lot of tracks to get through. I feel like there's more we could say about some of the other ones in the list.
I can dig it. Okay. So yeah, first track, Back for More. The second track is called Arrested. This one was probably actually one of my top five, I would say, on this album, mostly because, again, Irfan's awesome voice.
Yeah.
You know what it reminds me of, actually, is, I don't know if we've ever talked about them on the show before either. There is an electronic band called, like, Star Singer?
I don't know.
That has a song called I Can't Shake This Feeling.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds very similar. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know that song.
Yeah, yeah, I'm probably butchering the band name, but it's the song is called I Can't Shake This Feeling. Similar style, very kind of new disco-y, sort of electro-disco, and this song reminded me of that a lot.
Yeah, this is pretty good. I'm probably on the same page as you in terms of like being top five. I don't know if I would listen to this song every day, but it was among the ones that I liked. And maybe we should take a moment to say, like, something you said to me before we started recording was you kind of felt like half and half for this album, generally.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of made, like, a pros and cons of here's the songs I liked, here's the songs I didn't, and this is definitely in my like category.
Yeah.
Easily top five of my likes, so. Since we both seem to like it and we do like the lyricist, should we play a little clip?
Sure.
Yay.
Regarding what you were saying, or I guess what we were mentioning a minute ago, how you were kind of half and half of this album, when you had told me that, I actually felt better hearing that, because I felt very much the same way with this. And actually, you know, the first time I listened to it, I was probably more like 75-25 of disliking it. But having heard it a few more times now, it's slowly evening out.
Yeah.
So it's not, I wouldn't say this is an album that I, you know, really love, but there's definitely some good points to it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Now, funny thing, I was just kind of reading up a little bit on what Berlund kind of said about the album when it came out, and he said one of his big inspirations was music like Curtis Mayfield, Prince, R.I.P. by the way, and Michael Jackson being really, really influential on the album. And I think you can definitely hear that in a lot of these songs, that kind of 80s pop sound, you know?
I don't really hear any Curtis Mayfield in there, though.
No, not as... Not, I would say more Prince and Michael Jackson. I mean, the Curtis Mayfield maybe, because there is like one or two songs that has pretty dope bass lines. So maybe that's kind of where he's coming from.
Maybe, yeah.
Because Curtis Mayfield was like the king of dope bass lines. Yeah, I mean, it's funny that he says that these are his inspirations, and yet I see less of that 80s, a little bit less of that 80s pop, and a little bit more of that kind of 70s disco sound. I don't know. I mean, the two kind of go a little hand in hand, one bred the other.
They are a little distinct, and I would say, yeah, that's a good point. I actually have notes that kind of speak to that as well, that I, at different points in the album, I kind of see a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah, moving along here, we talked about Arrested, the third song on the album. This one I didn't really dig as much. It's called The Sweetest Romance. Just, I don't know, it wasn't super memorable to me. The singer on this song isn't, what's her face? It isn't Irfan, and I don't know, his voice kind of throws me off a little bit.
I felt pretty much exactly the same way. I don't really feel too strong about it either way. It's not bad, but it's also not something that really sticks in my head either.
I'm not going to lie, compared to some of the other songs, it almost seems a little underproduced, if that makes any sense. It seems a bit more bare bones.
Yeah, like, I can see that.
I don't know.
I had a similar note actually to say about In Return was like the second to last song. I felt it was probably like the most bare bones song. Okay.
Yeah, I can see
but
that.
But we can get to that later.
I think that was in my don't like list either, but we can get to that.
There's nothing necessarily wrong with being a more bare bones, less produced song, but it doesn't really pack much of a punch, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, because it's more bare bones and stripped out, it's not as impactful as some of the other songs on the album that seem much more faithful to the source material, so to speak.
Yeah. Maybe we can glide over this one as well.
Yeah, I'm okay. Fourth song after Sweetest Romance is Too Good For Me. The two and the four are numbers, I guess.
No.
This song seemed more like 90s R&B to me.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I had a really negative reaction to this the first time I heard it. Like,
yeah, me too, to be honest.
It's slowly grown on me a little bit, but yeah, I think I wrote down like the contemporary R&B sort of feel. It feels kind of out of place in this album.
Exactly. And I think I actually kind of wrote that down. I'm like, this song is so much more like that 90s, early 2000s harmonic R&B, which, I mean, it's not, that sound isn't bad. It's just, it's so juxtaposed with a lot of the other stuff on this album that it's just like, where is this coming from?
Right.
Like, this sounds so much more contemporary. Like, this could be The Weeknd or something.
And and you know, on top of that, this also isn't really my favorite genre of music personally. So, it's, I don't think we would have missed anything if this track wasn't on there, which sounds terrible. Although I will say something I wrote down is that while I didn't really care for the vocals and actually the lyrics too, the instrumental bit of this song. Like the if you took out all the vocals and just left like instrumental pieces of it, like this would easily be one of my favorite songs on the album, which is kind of weird because with like as it is, it's like one of my least favorite songs.
I can see that. And this one, kind of similar to Sweetest Moment, seems a little stripped down too. The backbeat is very simple.
Yeah, it's the music is very kind of like slower and more chill. It's kind of got like that little bit of like a R&B beat in the background too, and you know, even if it was purely instrumental, I think it would still kind of get that same like R&B vibe, but it might not be as strong. Maybe
bad. Yeah. I see what you're saying. I don't know. I kind of put this in my cons category. It's not bad, and it's not the worst song on the album, but it's just it seems a little bit out of left field, and I don't know. Yeah, but that's just me.
No, I
it's too good for me.
Or not good enough for you. I don't know.
That too.
I think it's worth playing just because we have a lot to say about it.
Okay. Hanging on to the strings of yesterday, yesterday, yesterday. You're too good for me,
too good for a sinner like me. Yeah, I think it's funny too that like the reasons that we say we don't really like it that much, like I think if you're really into that style of music, that's for some people that may be your favorite track.
Yeah, I don't know. No, very true. Yeah, people that are more into that 90s R&B sound probably would like this. Yeah. I would say we should ask my girlfriend because she does like 90s so R&B, but she is...
You kicked her out.
...disapparated. Yes. yeah, that was too good for me. The next song after that, the fifth song, is My Toy, which this is probably my favorite song on the album. I don't know about you.
I liked it, yeah. I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but I think it's definitely one of the better ones on there.
This song, not that most of them aren't very danceable, this song seems the most danceable. Super 80s, super highly produced, the lyrics are just super catchy.
Yeah, and I think if there were two or three songs on this album that reminded me of like straight up classic 70s disco, I think this is probably one of those.
Oh, for sure, 100%. And I don't know, just I love that this Irvine girl sounds like almost like a spitting image of Michael Jackson. Like this totally seems like it could be off the Jacksons album, right?
Yeah, it's funny because I never thought of that before, but now that you say that and listening to it, like in the background as we're talking, like yeah, I can definitely see mm-hmm. that comparison.
I don't know, maybe, yeah, the first time I heard it, I was just like, wow, I almost thought he sampled some lesser-known Michael Jackson song, but no.
That's funny.
Great lyrics, very, very catchy, I love the chorus, you've been such a good boy, I want to make you my toy, I don't know, it's catchy. And plus, it makes me feel like I've been a good boy.
Have you been a good boy, though?
Not today. So yeah, let's, play a little clip of My Toy since it's probably my favorite song off this album.
Cool. Now, you said that you, speaking of your girlfriend Tiff, who's actually been on the show at least once, you said you turned around to this album and that she liked it. I think you mentioned she likes this song as well.
Yeah. I think this was the first song I showed her, and she's like, ooh, I really like this. Mm. She kind of likes that 80s pop sound, though. So.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe it was more of a surprise. Because when you first told me, I thought it was more of a surprise that she liked this album as much as she did.
Not entirely. She's a huge fan of Michael Jackson in general, and she likes 80s pop.
Okay.
And this just... resonates that all like 100% all the way.
Mm.
So yeah, that was My Toy. The next song on the album, the sixth song, is called Get Lost. The thing I have written down for this one, I have no idea why, but I said this reminds me of Cameo. Not Chromeo, but Cameo, the 80s.
Interesting.
Band.
I had written down that it was just a tad of Chromeo in here, but
I'm sure Chromeo's probably has a bit of Cameo in it, maybe.
Right.
I don't know. The super bass, the more bass heavy sound in this, really just, as soon as I hear this, I'm like, why does this sound like Cameo to me?
Yeah, I can see a bit of that. I don't know if I would have thought that on my own, but yeah. The main thing I wrote about this song is that I liked it, but I also wrote, you know, I kind of had a thought one of the times I was listening to this album. I kind of wrote as I was thinking. I wrote, it's a good song, but I'm noticing his sound in general across this album, especially with a song like this. He's moved a lot toward where, like, basically the genres like new disco, whatever you want to call it, that he's in. I've noticed that in the last, it's not like he's done nothing in the last 4 years since his last album. He's had some singles, but I've noticed that his sound has changed to be pretty much on par with everyone else in this genre, and it's not very distinctive. Whereas there were songs I felt in his original album, he had a much more distinctive sound in at least some of the songs.
Mm-hmm.
And if I personally heard this song Get Lost on the radio, for example, I wouldn't have recognized it as a breakbot song. But then the last thing I wrote there was, is that necessarily a bad thing? And maybe not.
It's kind of like what we were saying last week with Charles Bradley's album. It's like he's branching out, and you have to kind of figure out whether you think that's a good thing or a bad thing. You know?
Yeah. Well, see, I think we kind of had the opposite problem last week with the other one.
Exactly. The other one was, all of it was so similar, and we were faulting it a little bit for being too similar.
For staying in his comfort zone too much.
It seems like he's trying to get out of his comfort zone, but some of it just isn't working as much.
It works, but it's not distinctive. I don't hear breakbot in this song. I just hear just like another modern good-ish song. It's not bad. It's not terrific. It's just there. And I just don't hear him in this song necessarily.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. That's probably why I was like, hey, this sounds like Cameo, and this stood out to me as something more Cameo sounding, because although Cameo came from that 80s sort of
pre-hip-hop,
80s funk, I guess. Yeah, funk hip-hop sound. It's definitely more distinct than his more pop-centric stuff of something like My Toy or Arrested.
That was just a thought that I had.
You know, I get where you're coming from. I don't disagree entirely, but at the same time, I don't dislike the song.
No, and I don't either. And the more I listen to this album, the less I dislike some of the songs on here. And I wouldn't say this was like one of my least favorites. I think it was kind of in the middle.
Yeah, I would say it's in the middle. It's not in, I don't know if it would be in the top five, but it's definitely in the likes.
It's probably in my top five.
Yeah. Okay, I can dig it. Should we play a clip?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. This is Get Lost by Breakbot. So yeah, next up, I guess the seventh song on the album is Turning Around. What I have written down for this is I just really liked the opening bass of this song. It's a bit different, a bit slower. Mm. This reminds me more of Justice than most of his stuff, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I can see that. I kind of wrote something similar. I wrote that, again, sort of like one of the other ones, Too Good For Me. I said that I think the instrumentals were kind of like the saving grace with this one. Mm-hmm. I really liked the synth in this as well. I think I'm kind of like a huge sucker for that whole throwback to 80s synth music that's kind of happened more recently in the last few years. So kind of anything that has that, I almost automatically like it. So yeah, I enjoyed this. That was pretty good.
Yeah, it's a bit slower, but I enjoyed it. It reminded me a lot of Justice, probably most of any of his songs, and I love Justice, so I'm not going to fault him for that at all. I don't know if this is Irfan on the album. Their voice is a bit kind of reverbed, so
yeah,
it's hard to tell. But yeah, I'd say this one was actually probably in my top five. I don't know about you.
I guess. I was actually trying to think before we started recording, you know, what my top three were. I was having a little bit of trouble coming up with what that was, just because I had a lot of mixed thoughts about this album.
Yeah.
I think this would probably definitely be in my top three, actually.
I can take it. Did we play a clip, or should we play a clip?
We have not.
I was going to say, we've played clips of the last three. I don't know if we should save some for other...
Nah, let's just do it, whatever. Listeners are here to hear the things.
They're not here to hear us, they're here to hear songs. So yep, this is Turning Around by Breakbot. I Yeah, definitely my top five upon re-listening to it even again.
Yeah. What did you think about track 8, Man Without Shadow?
I did not like the song at all.
Neither did I.
I wrote, it has annoying pacing and it sounds like shitty club music.
I wrote that the keyboard that's pretty prominent in this song, I said it sounded a little like creepy carnival music for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
The song reminds me a lot of the band Panda Bear. They're okay, but there's, I don't know. They've already got that bass cover. Why is he trying to sound like them?
Yeah, and that may kind of go back to what we were saying a few tracks ago, how he's kind of branching out in a few different directions, mimicking, not necessarily mimicking, but taking stylistic inspiration from other popular artists, for better or for worse.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, as soon as I heard this, I was like,
Yeah, I mean, this is, if you want to say, like, your bottom three, I mean, this is definitely in there for me.
Yeah, definitely. Same here. I did not have a good initial reaction to the song at all. Sorry.
No, that's fine. How about track 9, All It Takes?
I didn't have a really good reaction to this either, to be honest. I just said, meh. Yeah.
That's interesting, because this is...
Are you opposite?
Yeah, this is like my favorite song on the album.
Wow, okay. I guess, why did you like it?
I feel like the pacing is good. I would say it's kind of danceable. I would say it's definitely danceable. And I think part of the reason I might like it so much is that I would consider it the most similar to his older stuff. So, you know, how as I was saying before, like, a lot of the songs on this album, I wouldn't listen to and think, oh, that sounds like Breakbot, but this one kind of does.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
I feel like it's, like, the one, of all, like, the little things you could nitpick in this album, I feel like this is the one song that actually got it right. But, of course, everyone has their own opinion.
I suppose.
How did you feel mad about this? I'm just curious. I guess there was just nothing really that stood out.
A little bit that nothing stood out. I mean, I don't mind the undertones of the music in it, but I don't know. I'm re-listening to it now. I can't pinpoint why I don't like it, but it just doesn't stand out to me. It doesn't. Maybe it's the fact that I don't like the guy singing, but I can't really necessarily say that because I do like his album 2012, By Your Side, which I'm sure probably featured similar artists. If not the same guy. I don't know who it is who's featured on this. Is it Ruckazoid? Trying to figure out here.
Well,
yeah, I don't know.
Let's play a clip of this because I would like to. And you can, you can keep researching.
It seems one of the more controversial songs as far as one of us liking and not liking it.
That was All It Takes. I don't know if you're still looking for facts, Kyle.
I'm a little bit thrown off now, and I feel like I've effed up on something because I'm listening to some of the songs off his 2012 album that actually does say who it features, mm-hmm. and songs that feature Irfane sound like this guy. So I'm wondering if I'm getting people's names screwed up.
I don't know.
So I guess the next song after All It Takes is Wet Dream. I really liked this song, actually. Hopefully this is one we agree on.
This is the shortest track.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, it is.
Just a little over, not even 2.5 minutes.
I wrote down, as I was listening to it, that it reminds me, because of the kids and stuff talking at the beginning, it reminds me of MGMT's Kids. But the super, as it kind of progresses... And that's what I think I like about the song too, is it's very much a progression.
It builds up.
And once it gets into that weird, like really fast kind of keyboarding synthy stuff, it actually kind of reminded me of Dire Straits' Money for Nothing.
Interesting. I wouldn't have thought of that.
Because it starts to get really fast, really synthy, really that kind of like fast electro guitar whine, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how to describe that sound, that kind of whiny 80s sound. But yeah, I liked this because of the build-up.
I wouldn't say this is one of my favorites, but because like I think there's some of the weird sound effects and this kind of throw me off, like the kids in the background and like the guy in the water or something near the beginning.
Yeah,
that kind of throws me off. But like the instrumental part of this, I think, is really well done.
I don't know, maybe it's the kids or the weird splashing in the middle, but the song reminds me of like a really good pool party song.
Yeah, I can see that.
Although too. I really hope someone doesn't have a wet dream in the pool.
God. Do you want to play a clip of this or no?
If you want to.
We'll let the listeners listen to it on their own time.
Yeah. There's one other song that I do want to play a clip to, and I think we've played a decent amount of clips, so I want to savor it, which is actually the next song.
Oh, okay.
Too Soon. This one I probably have to say I like the lyrics to the most, and this one seems like this particular song has the most soul out of any other songs, any of his songs, I guess.
I wrote that this reminds me more of 70s disco than anything else on this album.
Yeah, this song and My Toy were really kind of vying for the top spots for me. Both that chick singer who, I'm probably messing up their name, I think it's Irfan, but now I'm second guessing myself. Sorry if I'm totally off. Refrain, whatever. Words are hard. Yeah, I really dig this song. This is easily my top five, if not my top three. And it's easily just as catchy as My Toy.
Hmm.
But it seems like the woman singing in the song is putting a bit more passion into this than My Toy. My Toy just seems like fun and bouncy. This one seems like there's more emotion behind it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I just can't pinpoint. I can't pinpoint what this sounds like, but it sounds very familiar to me.
It reminded me a lot of, like I said, like a lot of actual disco stuff. I think part of it had to do with some of the instrumentals, like the piano being like a prominent thing, and that was a disco thing with a lot of artists. The style of vocals too, I think, is definitely playing toward that.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of who I still haven't kind of pinpointed who in that kind of old genre that this reminds me of.
I know, right?
I mean, it's kind of along those lines, but maybe it's just because I'd actually written that this is kind of a hybrid between 70s disco and like the newer, more contemporary new disco style. Which may be why it's not immediately reminding me of anything older.
Maybe Tina Marie a little bit. I kind of hear a little bit of that.
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. Oh, she died. Sad. I didn't know.
So, did you say you wanted to play a clip of this one?
If you don't mind, I'd like to. Now, I know we were talking about how his song, what was it, All It Takes or something? Or the one that sounds like his old stuff.
I wrote All It Takes.
Now, that sounds a bit more like his old stuff, but this song, like Too Soon, My Toy, Arrested, if this is one of the directions he's trying to go in, I think this is probably his best branching out.
I would agree with you there.
A bit more 70s disco, a bit less 80s. I don't know.
There's definitely that in there.
Whatever this sound he's harnessed in these particular songs, these ones are the ones that stood out the most to me, and I really dug. So, hopefully he, I guess, continues in that direction. Speaking of direction, we should probably move forward because we have two songs left.
Yes.
Second to last song is In Return. What do I have written for this?
This is definitely in my bottom three.
I said it was a little slow. Sounds pretty different from anything else that in the album, but not in a good way.
Yeah, it just does. This is another one that really sticks out like a sore thumb. Not even in the pacing per se. I mean, that's part of it, but just stylistically as well. It doesn't sound like anything else on here.
Yeah.
It just doesn't even sound like it belongs on this album.
Exactly. Best way to put it. It sounds very out of place.
I did mention earlier that I felt this one was pretty stripped down as well. I mean,
yeah. Oh yeah. Probably the most. Yeah. I don't know. You hit the nail on the head. No pun intended. It stuck out like a sore thumb.
How was the pun? Because you hit, because no, your thumb is sore because you hit it with a hammer.
I don't know. I probably, yeah. Isn't that a thing? Isn't that a
probably.
Saying?
I don't know. Probably.
Like the nail that sticks out gets hammered down, or isn't that a thing? I don't know.
I don't know.
So yeah, exactly. Definitely bottom three. Similar to the song "Too Good for Me," a little slow, just oddly paced. You know what this seems like? Even though this album came out in February, it's like he tried really hard to make like a very poppy, bouncy summer album. But then he's like, "Oh shit, I'm releasing this from February. I have to put in some slow shit because it's still raining or snowing or whatever." You know, this album should have came out like a month from now, not in February.
And then change some of the songs, you mean?
And then strip down some of the songs and make it more of like a good summer dance album. And some of the songs totally fit that. Some of the songs are totally like, I would play this at a pool party, I would play this at a barbecue, I'd play this while, you know, cruising in the car with my top down.
With the car's top down or with your top down?
Both. But then there's songs like this that I'm just like, this just brings me down, man.
Yeah.
Speaking of slowing things down, the last and final song off the album, which is also the title song, Still Waters.
Oh, I just realized that.
The fact that this was instrumental kind of stood out to me, and I'm just like, damn, I wish Irfan was singing on this or something. Because I think that was one of the things I dug most about this album was her voice. It's not bad, and it sounds like a great backing beat to a song that could have great lyrics, but it almost seems because of that it's like it's unfinished.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
I was kind of digging around for Breakbot, seeing other reviews of this album, and a reviewer from Gigwise, I want to say Jonathan Uliat, kind of had a poignant point here about this album that. He kind of described it better than I suppose I could. He says that here that Breakbot's weak point has always been combining slick beats with romantic but generic lyrics to accompany. Upon first listen, their style is one to firmly grasp the attention of your ears, soon realizing that the 2D nature of the individual songs are kind of, I guess, two-dimensional. I'm summarizing here a bit. We have a sunny album to bop to, but why not accompany that notion with thicker soul channeling the genre roots and developing personality a little bit more? I kind of agree with that a little bit.
This is in regards to this album? Or yes. Just in general? The Breakbot?
No, this particular album.
Okay. That's actually...
I suppose he's referencing his original album as well when he says that his weak point always has been.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to put it. It's kind of missing a bit of soul behind it. And I don't mean that in the soul music type of way. I just mean it that it's missing
a bit of emotion.
Yeah.
And I think that's why that song Too Soon stood out so much, is that's one of the few songs that had a little bit of emotion in it. And yeah. Because of that, it ended up being one of my favorite songs on the album. Don't get me wrong, I like Irfan's voice. I love the super 80s sound. I love that she is like a female Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson, whatever.
No, I think, I hate to interrupt. I was looking up, Irfan is a man. So if that's true, I think the songs you're referring to is a lot of these songs is a female singer. So it's,
yeah,
unless he's really good at singing that way. So
I was going to say, maybe it's actually him and it's not a girl at all. Oh my God.
Oh, it says featuring Yasmin.
Yasmin? Is that the chick? Okay, we like Yasmin. I don't know. That sounds more like a girl's name.
I don't know who that is, but she's not a man.
Okay, well, I'm sorry for completely misquoting this the entire time.
Well, the listeners don't know it anyway. Well, I shouldn't just assume the listeners don't know anything until we tell them. That's a horrible thing to think.
Peter, this is why people don't listen to us.
That's true, no one will hear that.
So okay, yeah, if that is indeed true, I want to say that it is Yasmin on a lot of these songs, considering that I'm looking at a live recording here and it is a woman singing and it says featuring Yasmin, and it sounds like the girl on a lot of these songs So if that's true, yay for Yasmin. Sorry for a lot of the songs that I've been mentioning that I thought was Urfrain was actually Yasmin. I think Urfrain is the guy on the song All It Takes. Because on his previous album, a lot of the songs that say featuring Urfrain sound like that.
Yeah, like one of the more prominent ones, the older songs that he was on was Baby I'm Yours, which I think is easily one of the more better known Breakbot songs. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Okay, well, I'm glad we got that cleared. but yeah, kind of going back.
Yeah, sorry.
We kind of got sidetracked there, but regarding what that interview was saying, or not the interview, sorry, the review was saying about it, I think we kind of, everything we've kind of said in this episode kind of reflects what they were saying.
Yeah.
So I don't know what made me think of this. Well, I do know what made me think of this, but it's just kind of a weird example. I just thought of Caravan Palace. Obviously, like, genre-wise, very different group, but
yes.
I think I'm making a mental comparison between their first and second albums. That's a case where you can hear like a development of how, you know, how they're kind of refining their sound a bit and changing it a bit from what it was in their debut, but it was all very consistent throughout the album. Like any song from that album, you could tell it was them. So to me, it's not that I'm against Breakbot developing or advancing their sound over time. It's just that it feels really inconsistent right now.
Yes. That's a good way to put it.
So yeah. I think we've beat this horse to death.
We've broken Breakbot. so yeah, we covered all the songs. We played what we liked. Listeners, tell us what you did or didn't like. If you guys have listened to the album like we have, maybe you have a totally different opinion of it. But you can let us know on facebook.com/getyourfunk or soundcloud.com/getyourfunk, where you can actually comment on the track itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you comment, it shows up in parts of the track. I don't know, SoundCloud. It's magic. So yeah, that was a review of Breakbot's Still Waters.
So we encourage you listeners to go give it a listen. If you want to buy it, that's cool. If you want to be like me and listen to it on Spotify for free, that's also cool.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.